Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Looking at this article that has the 10 playoff losers and their chances of winning the Super Bowl next year. I don't know if you've looked at this, Seth, but I kind of hope you haven't. The 10 teams that have lost in the playoffs so far, where do you think the Texans rank among those 10 playoff losers as far as their chances of winning a Super Bowl next year?
Well, based on their odds going into the playoffs, I'm guessing that they are 9th.
They are 8th.
8th? Okay.
Who are they above? They are 8th. They're above
the Bills?
They're above the Bills, who they beat.
Okay.
The Bills are 10th.
Yeah.
The Bills are 10th. The Titans are 9th.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, good.
Do you feel better about the Texans or the Titans next year?
I would have put the Texans above the Titans anyway. I'm surprised that I felt like the kind of the going narrative would be, oh, wow, look at the Titans.
They've
developed into a really good team. Now, I think Tannehill's going to be better than he was in Miami, but I think he's also necessarily almost a scientific fact that he's going to come down to earth a little bit.
Yes.
We've just seen this so many times where players have an 8-game splurge, especially with a new system or when they're rookies or what have you, and then teams have an entire offseason of work to figure out, okay, this is what really worked for him, this is what didn't, this is what we're going to... It's like one big mass experiment among NFL defensive coordinators to figure out, okay, how do we tear down this SOB quarterback?
Right.
And everybody tries a little bit of different. It's like a group effort. Like, oh, look, you know, Romeo tried this, and then we look over here, and these guys, Pete Carroll tried this. So that's going to come back. Derrick Henry, I think, might have had the best stretch of his career he'll ever have again. And I think he'll remain valuable, but this is a guy that they were talking about potentially having to replace at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You know, like they were talking about making plans for after Derrick Henry. So if they're just going to, the pendulum's going to swing back a little bit.
I think they got to where they got.
Yeah.
With one of the least replicable ways to do it.
Uh-huh.
Like you go, okay, here's how we got to the AFC title game. We pounded Derrick Henry 35 times a game for 4 straight weeks. Like, when's that going to happen again? You know what I mean? We did it with Ryan Tannehill playing 2 levels above anywhere, anytime he's ever played in his decade mm-hmm. in the league.
And they also did it with the play action was working extremely well for them. And one of the reasons it was working well, I think, was because they were doing it in a manner, in a style that was different than how they used it with Marcus Mariota. There just simply wasn't as much film. So when you start to see all the film and what do these plays look like and, you know, what are we anticipating, it's just a lot easier. I mean, so much as a defense in stopping an offense, you know, it's obviously a lot about scheme, but some of it is simply when you're watching film during the week, being able to visualize what's going on. This is what you're doing as a defensive back, as a defensive lineman, anybody during the week in film. You're watching film and you're visualizing, all right, how am I going to respond to that? How am I going to react to that? The really good guys close their eyes and think about it and do it like in real time mm-hmm. and think about how it's going to look and feel. So you're just getting more practice against that offense. If you don't have all that film to watch and you don't have the history with it, it's a lot harder to execute really fast and really hard on game day. So what happens in the offseason is you've got an entire offseason, all these OTAs, training camp and everything, and at various times you're watching little cut-ups of the Tennessee Titans. Then you get and you're playing next year, and you've already seen these guys a couple times, and everything just becomes a little bit faster. That's just above and beyond the X's and O's. Guys react faster because there's a familiarity there. So that's what Tannehill and the Titans have to worry
about
next year.
That's what they're up against, yeah. So the Texans are 8th on this list. It's a list of the 10 playoff losers this year. And they're ranked in the order that this particular writer, the writer on CBSSports.com, is named Sean Wagner Magoo. And this is what he says about the Texans. And this is going to lead me into something here. The Texans are ranked above the Titans because of one player, Deshaun Watson. Watson can't do it all by himself, which is why the Texans are still ranked near the bottom of this list. But he gives the Texans a chance. But the Texans are unlikely to win the Super Bowl because the team doesn't have enough resources to give him the help that he needs. It talks about barring any trades, they're not going to pick until the second round. They've got one pick in the top 100. And they've got issues on defense. The offensive line is revamped, but they were still not great at pass blocking. Watson makes the Texans the favorites in the AFC South because he's the best quarterback in the division, But unless he gets some help, he can't be expected to win a Super Bowl entirely on his own. I thought about this earlier when we were talking about O'Brien, Seth, earlier in the show. And I think this is what it boils down to for me. One of the reasons why I am not happy right now is because the Deshaun Watson experience is being a little bit ruined for me right now. Mm-hmm. We should be celebrating Deshaun Watson, that the Texans have Deshaun Watson, that he's one of the, to me, one of the best quarterbacks in the league from skill set, mentally, physically, the whole nine yards. And because of what's gone on with this team, we can't fully enjoy the Deshaun Watson experience in two ways. One, I do agree with the people that are saying that the way Bill O'Brien calls games, the way the offense is set up, just sort of the way O'Brien goes about things offensively, does not fully take advantage of Deshaun. Whether it's with the way the offense is put together from a personnel standpoint or the way the play calling is, I don't feel like we're getting maximum Deshaun. Some of that's Deshaun's fault, but some of it is due to the head coach and the play caller. The other thing that ruins the Deshaun Watson experience for me is this, that I think there's a lot of people right now that feel there should be change with the head coach or within some level of the organization beyond just the roster. And the problem is that Deshaun Watson is so good that they're never going to be bad enough to where if you have a super patient ownership,
right,
they're going to be inclined to make change. Deshaun Watson in some ways might be his own worst enemy from being a little bit too good to allow the team to get to a point where you got to really take a super critical look at the head coach and the general manager,
right,
and all the things that go into it.
Yeah, he takes a 6-10 team and makes them a 9-7 team.
Yeah,
he takes a 7-9 team and turns it into a 10-6 team.
And I will root for Deshaun Watson until he's never a Houston Texan anymore. But inherently, by rooting for Deshaun Watson, you're rooting for the team to be at a level. You're rooting for the team to be at a level that they can't achieve right now.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, the level that he can achieve is high enough to where the things that need to get changed won't get changed for them to achieve even
higher.
So what
you're basically saying is that it's all Deshaun's fault.
In a weird way, I am, and that's what I'm saying. That's my point is, like, I can't fully enjoy the Deshaun Watson experience.
If Deshaun Watson were to get injured and miss the entire season and they went 2-14, then the problem there is that O'Brien has the easy excuse of, well, I was playing with AJ McCarron.
He got an extension after going 4-12 when Deshaun got hurt a couple years ago.
There were trade rumors about him after going 4-12.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, you can't lose. It's crazy how these trade rumors pop up with some of these coaches sometimes. He got an extension for God knows why. It was just because Deshaun Watson was injured. And oh my gosh, you got to have the guy that helped develop Deshaun Watson apparently at some point.
For six games. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. I think as I'm trying to process all the things that are bothering me about the Texans right now, when we were talking about Deshaun earlier, that's when it hit me. I'm like, I am bothered because I can't fully enjoy the Deshaun Watson experience.
I think it's as simple as this. It's that Bill O'Brien he just 100% has to be on the hot seat right now because he has his franchise quarterback, and he's had him for two full seasons now. He had him his rookie year. He had him for two full seasons. And they weren't a top offense in either of those years. If you have a guy, so then it becomes either, all right, who's the problem here? Is it Deshaun or Bill O'Brien? And I think in a lot of ways, it's still Deshaun. Deshaun needs to keep advancing as a quarterback like anybody in his third year does. Like Andrew Luck, when he was in his third year, had to keep getting better. The question is, all right, is Bill O'Brien the guy to do it? Do people feel comfortable that he is the guy? I don't think a lot of people do.
No.
And I think, you know, I'll go back to Orlovsky saying that a lot of people around the NFL think that Bill O'Brien is holding Deshaun Watson back. And it's not because we know that Deshaun does not lack for intelligence. We know that he does not lack for athletic ability. We know that he does not lack for leadership qualities. He lacks none of those things. At some point, all right, how is he going to take that next step? He has talent around him on offense. He just drafted offensive linemen. There are no more excuses. There are zero excuses for the offense not to be a top 10 DVOA offense next year.
Yeah.
So the DVOA is just an easy way to rank how teams are adjusted for schedule and everything. If they're not a top 10 offense next year, I don't see how you can possibly move forward with Bill O'Brien as your head coach / GM. There will be, if you keep O'Brien, if they don't do that next year and you keep O'Brien, you may as well be saying, all right, well, we don't believe in Deshaun Watson. You know, and at that point, you better draft another quarterback because it's either or at this point in my mind, and I believe in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, or you don't believe in results.
Right.
Like it is what it is. There, the 2 years where Deshaun Watson has played a full season, 2018 and 2019, to use the metric DVOA, which Seth just mentioned, footballoutsiders.com. It's their efficiency measurement. I think it's the most accurate measurement for how good a good or bad offense or defense can be.
Those
two full seasons, 2018, the Texans were 21st. 2019, the Texans were 17th in offense.
Yeah.
Overall.
In offense.
Upper half.
Remember, Romeo Crennel just got fired. He's typically at a top 10 this last year. The year in which Jadeveon Clowney was traded away, and I understand if you didn't want to sign him long-term, whatever, but just to, for what you're up against, the year in which Jadeveon Clowney was traded away right before the season, mind you, and J.J. Watt was injured for most of the year, that's the first time Romeo Crennel hasn't had a top 10 DVOA defense. He's the one that got fired. But Bill O'Brien, the quasi-offensive coordinator, the quasi-GM, the quasi-lord of football, he remains, obviously. Of course he does.
Have there been any changes on the offensive side of the ball since the season ended?
No, everything's fine, Sean. Yeah, everything's groovy. Don't worry about it.
17th, baby.
Yeah, you gotta. I don't know what you. There's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but they traded 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil.
That's right. They did.
To become a mediocre offense. To remain a mediocre offense.
Seth, I don't know if you noticed, but 21st last year and 17th this year, they moved up 4 notches.
I don't think you're understanding how hard it is to be 8-8 in this 8-8 league where everything's designed to be 8-8.
It's really hard to win football games in a league where half the teams win every single
week.
Should
we give credit to Bill O'Brien for winning a lot of games despite not actually being that good as a football team? It's a really freaky, weird thing he's got this knack for doing, of like ending up with a winning record despite scoring fewer points than your opponents did over
the course of the year.
It
is wild.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.